Coach, and the Tigers are 2-0.
Yeah, and, you know, they played a little better this week than they did the week before. And, you know, neither one of the teams that we played is SEC caliber teams, I don't think. Although Washington State, I thought, was better than what I anticipated of being coming in here. And I think they'll end up being a bowl team this year, I believe.
Coach, looking at the way that offense is sort of ran as far as, you know, high explosive, a lot of plays, how hard is it to keep up with that? Because I have a hard time on the television.
Well, you know, you ought to practice more. If you can practice, you get better at it. It's not too hard to keep up with. I mean, you know, it's an exciting offense, and we run a lot of plays, and it's you know, players like it, and you know, they're running it all over in every high school in the country, and I think it's here to stay.
Speaking to a guy that understands the complexity of the defensive side of the football, Coach Pat Dye joins us via the telephone, as he does each and every Monday, talking a little football here. If you want to tweet us a question, feel free to do that. The Game, WDGM. Coach, it seems like the SEC is going to be great on the offensive side of the football, but a little slow and a little sluggish on the defensive side of the football. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, I think just looking at the conference, it appears to me that there's only one great defensive football team in the conference, and that's Alabama. You know, I know South Carolina's pretty good, and Georgia's pretty good, and Texas A&M may be pretty good, but I don't think there's the one truly great defensive football team. And you know, and I think I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in the conference this year because of that.
Do you see it as the offenses are that good, or do you see it the defenses are just sort of a step behind, and maybe the adjustments have just not been made to this high explosive stuff?
Well, you know, I looked at the replay of the South Carolina-Georgia game today, and Georgia's got 9 new starters on defense, starting playing three true freshmen. And, you know, they've got practically a new defensive football team at LSU. And, you know, South Carolina looked like to me they're hurting their linebacker, and Georgia just cut them to pieces throwing the football. So, I mean, I think that we'll get better as the year goes along. We've got to certainly get better play at linebacker than we've gotten in the first two ball games. But if we do, we've got some pretty good athletes, young freshmen and redshirt freshmen and whatever, in the defensive line that's got a chance to come along. And, you know, the older guys playing a little better. And, you know, it looked like we had fun playing the game for the first time in a long time Saturday night against Arkansas State. And they're not a bad football team. They're a pretty good little team.
Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, as I was watching the game, it seems like the life is back in the Auburn program. Obviously, a new coach and a new energy, and it just seemed like that the excitement around that program is building.
Well, it is, and, you know, we've got some exciting football players on our offensive team. You know, we got the quarterback, if he continues to improve, is an exciting player. And, of course, Grant has got great speed, and our tailback is, you know, he's a good 205-pound back. And the kid we signed out of junior college, he's a good football player. And our offensive line is going to be the best that we've had here since 2010 by far.
Coach, I want to walk you back, because you were a 2-time All-American at Georgia, and a lot of folks know for your coaching status and a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, but I want to walk you back to Georgia for a little bit. It seems like last week this time we were counting the dogs out. We were saying that Mark Richt's on the hot seat. He bounced back and beat South Carolina. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, that didn't look too good in Clemson, but Clemson's got a good football team. And I don't think Clemson's got a real good defensive football team. You know, that to me is going to somewhere down the road that'll catch up to them. And but I pick South Carolina to beat Georgia, just based on the Clemson game. And I thought South Carolina, you know, they made some mistakes in the ball game that hurt them. And it's just one of those games that if Connor Shaw doesn't turn the football over, you know, it may be an entirely different ball game. Of course, Georgia gave South Carolina a touchdown, too, on a drop snap from center on the punt formation. But it's going to be a lot of that in this conference this year, probably. I tell you what now, it'll be a war 2 weeks from now when Georgia plays LSU. I mean, is LSU going to Athens?
They are.
Well, I mean, that'll be a great football game. Because both of them are good on offense, and LSU has got they've got two receivers that are just playing, you know, lights out, and Beckham and Landry, and Mecklenburg is throwing the heck out of the football. I don't think there's any question that Cameron, the offensive coordinator at LSU, has helped their offensive football team. I mean, they just look a lot more organized and a lot more, a lot smoother operation than what they've looked in the past. You know, he is close friends with the head coach, and maybe he's got the head coach out of the offense. And that will, you know, I like Coach Miles, and I think he's done a great job at LSU, but I think that he meddled with the offense too much, and I think that it looks to me like Cam Cameron is running it.
Coach, it seems like that, and I'd like to have your perspective. It's hard to do to win a national title, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, but do you think it can be done at South Carolina? I mean, do you think they could actually get over this hump? Because every time we start counting them in, and you know, we put Jadeveon Clowney on this big map of possibly being a Heisman contender, and then they make us, you know, look like we're embarrassed. We don't really know what we're talking about.
Well, you know, there's too much publicity over all of the superstars, and you know, too much publicity with Clowney, too much publicity with Manziel. You know, it's now both of those. Manziel's in his third year, Clowney's in his third year, but still, you know, with the national media and people pulling at you all the time, I mean, it's really difficult. And you know, Coach Saban probably does as good a job of protecting his players as any head football coach in the country, and that's as good a compliment as I can pay him, because you know they absolutely will just he wouldn't no more put up with the circus that surrounded Manziel this summer, or what's going on with Clowney. He wouldn't have put up with that. He wouldn't allow that to happen.
Well, Coach, if I remember correctly, I don't think you would have put up with it either.
Well, you know, I wouldn't. If I did, it would be against my nature, I tell you. You know, because, you know, I had a Heisman winner in Bo Jackson, and Bo was easy to deal with. I mean, he didn't get caught up in all that stuff, you know, and so it was, it was easy, because when Bo won it in 85, you know, everybody in America didn't have a telephone that you could talk to anybody around the world with. And so, I mean, it was a little easier back then, but now, and you know, these dang television people, you know, they don't care. They just looking for somebody to make the ratings go up. And the worst thing of all of it is what they're doing to high school kids. I mean, the college kids is bad enough, but they're doing the same thing with high school kids now. They ought to outlaw that, taking kids and taking advantage of them like they are. With all this recruiting stuff going on and all of these high school all-star games and Nike and Under Armour and all of the folks that are you know, making millions and millions of dollars at the expense of these high school kids, that, you know, 90% of them won't make it to that superstar status and make millions of dollars in the NFL.
Coach, what was it like recruiting Bo Jackson, because you were able to recruit him to Auburn?
Well, it was easy, because he was in McCall, and he really wasn't that highly recruited. And his mother was, you know, a wonderful woman, and Bo was, you know, he was a guy that. You know, when he said it took him a long time to tell you something, but when he said, well, whatever he said, you could go to the bank with it. Now, you know, he told me he's coming to Auburn, he said, "Coach, I'm coming to Auburn." He said, "I want to play football in the fall, and I want to play baseball and run track in the spring." I said, "Bo, you won't ever have any spring practice obligations." And then when the New York Yankees drafted him number one, I never picked up the phone and covered it. I said, "I'm not going to call him. I'm not going to give him a chance. I'm not going to start the conversation where he's going to tell me he's going to sign with the Yankees. If he's going to the Yankees, he's going to have to pick up the phone and call me." And he never did, thank goodness. And Bo was easy. I mean, he was smart, and nobody, you couldn't push Bo into anything. And I mean, it had to be his idea. When it got to be his idea, everything was fine.
Coach, I want to take a break here. We'll come back, but I've got a question. I'm going to see if I can prepare you for it. I had one of the great legendary coaches wanted me to ask you about forgetting your pants at a lake.
No, I didn't forget my
pants.
They blew off of a pontoon boat.
Okay, so maybe we can talk about that. That's going to be a funny story. We'll see if Coach Dye will share it with us.